This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher with Readers Entertainment Radio. And can you believe it? It is the last day of November 2018. It's like the year is just flying by. And to celebrate our Thor's Day here at Readers Entertainment Radio, I have brought in a truly fabulous author that I have been wanting to have on the show forever, Tracy Wolfe. She is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author who wrote her first story, Something That Had a Rainbow and a Prince. She wrote that in the second grade. And then she also read, by the end of elementary school, had consumed all the Judy Blume books. So her mom started her on young adult classics and also romance novels not too long after that, after Tracy went through all of the selections at the local bookstore. And from the first page of that first romance novel, Tracy knew she had found her lifelong love. One-time English professor with over 50 novels to her name, she now devotes most of her time to writing romance and dreaming up her heroes. She lives in Austin, Texas with her family. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thanks, Patricia. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, and it's so exciting because I can call you Dr. Wolf. Is that correct?
You can, yes.
You got that PhD.
Not many people
I remember.
Do. I very rarely use that moniker, but you can if you'd like.
Lovely. Well, and I met you when you were still working on your master's, I believe.
No, I think you met me... I think I was just finishing with the PhD when you met me. It's been years, but
okay.
I had just gotten published, so I was finishing the PhD at that point. But we've been friends a long time.
We have, so I'm super excited that you're here. So you were just a voracious reader, obviously, as a kid, Judy Blume being at the top of your list. What other classics?
I actually loved that when I was a kid, the Sweet Valley High series. Like, I loved Elizabeth and Jessica and all of that. And then I loved these, if you want classics, everything, Anne of Green Gables, Emily of New Moon, The Wind in the Willows. Those are books my mom used to sit with me and read a little bit every night before bed. So we started those really, really early. But one of the things I remember most loving, series I loved the most when I was young were these books. I don't know, you're about my age, so you may remember them. They were historical romance novels, but like historical adventure novels for girls. And each one was a different girl's name. And
right.
I think they were the Sunfire ones. And they were pretty thick at the time for young readers. And each girl would have, like, her story, whether it was, like, at the Battle of New Orleans and, you know, with Jean Lafitte, for example, or Caro's was, she was going, I remember her, she was my favorite, she was going over the mountains to the California Gold Rush. And there were always two boys that they had to choose from, one that kind of represented their old life and one that kind of represented the new adventure. And and those were my favorite when I was young, before we started on the romance novels. And before you asked, the first romance novel my mom gave me was a Diana Palmer novel and a Jude Devereaux novel. And
oh,
I devoured
Jude Devereaux was it?
Oh, my gosh. It was the Velvet series, the four brothers from the medievals.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I read those until they fell apart. Like, I read them so much that it became a joke in what bad shape they were in. So when they republished them a number of years ago, I bought all four from my mom and gave them to her as kind of a little, like, tongue-in-cheek gift. And she still has them on her shelf. And then one year, I think it was New York, RWA, the last one, so that would have been 3 years ago, Jude Devereaux was there, and Random House is now publishing her. And I got her to sign something for my mom, and it's like one of my mother's favorite, most prized autographs that she's gotten since I've been a romance novelist.
Well, it's fun because, you know, years ago I read A Knight in Shining Armor, and it came along at a time when I really needed that book. You know, I was going through a really rough time with somebody similar to the characters in the book. And so when I finally got to meet Jude in Atlanta at RWA, I had this whole thing planned. I was in the workshop, the one before hers. I was make sure I was, like, at the front row. I mean, the whole thing, I was up there, and I had this whole thing in my head to say to her, to thank her for this book. And I walked up to her and just burst into tears and couldn't say anything. And she just stood there and very sweetly patted my hand and said, thank you. I don't even know if she knew what I said, but she was just very, very gracious about it. And it's cool to see that reaction to someone who's read your book. I mean, to be that emotionally invested.
Oh, no, absolutely. For me, the very first RWA I went to was Reno, and I didn't know anybody. I mean, I didn't know one soul. I had signed up and just, like, went because I decided that I had a year off of working, of teaching, and this is what I was going to do, is I was going to write my romance novel that had been in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know how anything worked or whatever else, and San Francisco RWA took me under their wing, interestingly enough, and were so kind to me, and I love them to death. And but anyway, I met them when I was in line. I didn't even realize that, you know, you got free books. Like, that was shocking to me. And so we were in line to go into, I can't remember which publisher it was, but I remember the big shock was Julie Garwood. They had brought Julie Garwood in. Like, she wasn't even on the program, but she was in there. And Julie Garwood was, like, my mother's favorite. And I went up, and
yeah.
I was very, like, oh, my gosh, you don't understand. You're like the romance of my, you know, from my childhood. It's always been, you know, about you. Your books have always been there, and it was this incredible thing. And then this is my mother's other prized romance possession, and she signed a book to my mom, and it was like, your daughter is fabulous. And my mother had to, like, show that off to all of her friends. So that was fun. There's, like, that's the thing, right? I think, you know, and there are always exceptions to the rules, but romance writers in general are so incredibly gracious. You know what I mean? Old guard,
yeah.
New guard, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, you're just thrilled, right, that somebody read your book and connected with it and loved it enough to become a fan or to want to meet you or to talk to you. I had my own fangirl moment a couple weeks ago at Readers and Ritas in Dallas. I don't know if I told you about this the last time I saw you, but Christine Feehan was the big guest at Readers and Ritas. And I am a gigantic Christine Feehan fan. Like, I can't even tell you how big a Christine Feehan fan I am. I probably wrote, like, the 9 paranormal romances I wrote, I did, I'm sure, at least partially because I just loved her so much. I wanted to write paranormal because of how fabulous she was. And for whatever reason, I'd never met her. Like, she was always, like, had huge lines. I was always going off to sign somewhere, even though we wrote for the same publisher. Like, it just it never worked where I ever got a chance to meet her. So anyway, it was one of the opening things that they had, the scavenger hunt, and she was just kind of sitting there, and there was one person talking to her, but that was it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go introduce myself to Christine Feehan. And I went up, and we talked for a few minutes, and then she says, what was your name? And I told her my name, and she's like, I read you. And I was like, I'm going to die now.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
that happened,
yeah.
I was at RWA this year in Denver. Alisa Cole writes these beautiful books.
Oh, she's
books.
Wonderful, yes.
And we have talked back and forth on Twitter for, like, she has a cat and I have a dog, and so wrote back and forth. And so I walked up to get an autographed book, like what you're saying, at the free publisher's thing. They're just throwing books at everybody. And she looked at me, she goes, I know you. And it was one of those moments of, oh, my gosh, really?
Right?
It's a crazy world, but what I see, like you're saying, is there's so much support within the romance writer genre, and I don't hear that as much from other genres. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but what I hear a lot of is from other people who come over and come to a romance writer's thing, like, wow, you guys are really cool. I mean, you really help each other, and that's massive.
Oh, it is. I think it's one of the most amazing parts about the industry, because I know that, well, the arts in general, right, are tough, and they tend to be cutthroat. Writing is no different. I write in other genres besides romance. And I think it's so interesting when you're in those genres, you're always like, my goodness, it's kind of, you know, it's a lot harder when we're on this side of the fence. And then it's also really interesting when writers from other genres come into romance, because they're always like, you really like each other and you really help each other. And I'm like, Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is such a, you know, female-centric industry, and we don't have the belief system that, oh, if you buy my book or if you buy her book, that means you're not buying mine. It's like, you know what, there's a romance for everybody, and let's, you know, share that, and let's help people along when we can, just because somebody helped us and just because it's the right thing to do. And I don't know, like, what's better than spreading love and joy in a world that so desperately needs it? Like, why would you not want to help as many people as you could, you know,
exactly,
in whatever way you can?
And so you've had three books come out this year. So The Royal Treatment, Hot and Heavy, and then Phantom Wheel that you've had under Tracy Deeps, that you write under also. So
I also
tell
had
me about,
four. I had, I actually had another one. I had Rough and Ready come out in October as well.
Oh, okay.
Four. I was like, wait, so three's not right. I was going through it in my head. It was
so
a full year, but
I mean,
there were four.
So tell me the difference, you know, getting in these different genres, how do you separate, you know, writing, you know, your different stories?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that I ever consciously separate it. It's, you know, I drive my kids nuts because I'm not one of those people where, oh, the characters do what they want and I just kind of record it. I'm not like that. But I am very much like my characters talk to me in my head. Like, I have, like, I at any given moment, like right now, I have like 15 story ideas, that all of which I plan to write. And
sure.
It tends to be, well, whichever one I'm contracted for is usually the one I'm writing next.
Right.
Whichever one the characters were talking to me a while ago. But usually when it's time for me to write their story, the characters start talking to me. And I drive my kids nuts because, like, we're going places and, like, their friends are in the back. It doesn't matter. And I'm, like, in my head, I'm just totally, like, just blah, 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 having this whole conversation, you know, playing out. And you can just see it on my face and I'm mouthing the words and my head's going back and forth and my kids are like, oh my God, what are you doing? And I miss the exit we're supposed to get off on and all that. So for me, it's never been about separating them. It's kind of like whatever my schedule permits usually is how the books get written, but it's also whoever's, like, when it comes time to, like, oh, it's time to sell something, who's talking to me? And that kind of, you know, I kind of know at that point what it is that I want to do next. Right now, actually, I'm struggling because I have, like, four projects that I really, really, really want to work on. And that's besides the, like, three that I have contracted that I have to work on that I also want to work on. So it's driving me nuts trying to, like, divide my time and no, you got to wait a little longer, but I don't want them to wait because I want to do them now. You know, every writer has a thing
right.
that they love to do. Some love to have written. Some love to plot. Some love the act of writing. I'm a whore. I love the act of selling. I love so much coming up with a story, exploring it, and selling it, and then I'm done. I'm like, I'm finished. Of course, the story's not written, right? It's
right.
only sold on proposal, so then I have to write it. And I'm like, oh, that's not nearly as much fun. I want to write it, talk about this next story idea I have, and I want to sell that. And and sometimes that gets me in trouble because at one point a few years ago, I had 17 books under contract, and that was a lot, and it was very stressful.
I would
so,
say so.
My agent has forbidden me from ever doing that again, and she refuses to take out any more until I'm at a certain point in my contracts and that kind of a thing. So, so right now I have seven that are talking to me at different times.
Wow. So tell me about your newest release.
My newest release was, well, they actually came out on the same day. I had two releases come out on October 17th, which was incredibly stressful, and which I don't think I did justice to either one, sadly, because I hate publicity more than I hate just about anything, which is probably why it took you so long to get me on the show.
Probably so.
I would much rather talk about anything else but myself. But I had two books come out. One was Phantom Wheel, which was a young adult with Little Brown, and I loved it. I had so much fun with this book. It's an ensemble cast, six teens who were recruited into a special program. They're 16 hackers, I guess I should say, who were recruited into a special program to kind of work for that, like, if they were successful doing, you know, their audition or whatever else, they'd end up, like, getting help with their college tuition and maybe getting to work for the NSA when they graduated, that kind of thing, or the government, the CIA, different branches. And but then after they did the audition and they passed, and after all that happens, they find out that they were duped. And and a major, they've created a major problem, and now they have to fix it. So it's this really great action. I mean, there's hacking stuff. I learned so much about, like, what you could hack. Like, my favorite thing is, you know that trains are completely hackable because there's absolutely no protection on them, certainly in this country and most of the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's super easy. So I hack BART trains in San Francisco, and I learned that any car that has a USB port is hackable. So I learned,
wow,
in theory how to do that. And so we have all these big action adventure scenes, and it's this chase across the country and across the world. They end up in Norway, actually, and where the big black moment and climax and everything kind of happens. And so that was so much fun to write. And that was very different than, like, the romance, right? So that was the one that,
sure,
came out. That was the young adult novel that came out. And then the romance that came out was the third in my football series, my San Diego Lightning. Of course, now the Chargers are in L.A., but when I started it, they were in San Diego. So it's the San Diego Lightning, and I'm from San Diego. And it is, I actually really, really love this book. Of the three, this is probably my favorite. He is the big, like, left tackle guy. And my son played left tackle and was really good at it. And so I learned a lot in the years that he played. And so anyway, Tanner is just, like, the nicest guy on the planet. He just really is. And he comes across Alara, who is a ex-WNBA player. She hurt her knee and had to retire. And she runs basically a community center in Southeast San Diego, which is the not-so-great area of San Diego for kids who are at risk. And they meet because she gets pissed off because he took all of her funding for his little football charity, which is absurd because they already have all the money. Why does he need to take her funding? You know what I mean? And
sure,
so she, like, confronts,
sure,
him in the locker room, and he's, like, traumatized because he's standing there like, can I get dressed and we can talk about this? And she's like, no, I'm done with you. So then the next time he meets her, he goes to her rec center, and they're sitting there, and she's playing basketball with her kids, and he doesn't know that she's a former WNBA player, and he gets talked by the kids into playing against her, and he tells her, oh, don't worry, I'll go easy on you. And she's like, oh, yeah, really? Is that how this is going to go? And, of course, she, you know, runs circles around him, and it kind of goes from there. And I just had a lot of fun with the two of them because they were hilarious. So that's that one. It's the third in the series. There's Down and Dirty, Hot and Heavy, and Rough and Ready.
Rough and Ready. And are you going to do any more in the series?
We'll see. Originally we had planned on doing more, but I have a bunch of other ideas and not enough time to write,
sure,
them all. So I'm taking a little hiatus from it to do a couple other books for Random House. My next one comes out. I think we took a little break, so I think it's like 4 or 5 months from now. I think it comes out in April or May, and it's a totally different, lighter kind of rom-com one. That I'm actually excited about. It's an idea I've had for a while, and it's about a girl who she doesn't believe in love. And so I was trying to think of the best way to describe it because it's kind of a mouthful. She doesn't believe in love, and she's got her first job working for a magazine, and she wants to, you know, write features. You know, she's got to work her way up, but she's stuck in charge of the Lovelorn column. And she's really good at it because she gives really good advice, which is like, no, he's a jerk, dump him. No, don't do that, because she doesn't believe in love. And she's like, you know, you can do way better without that guy. And so anyway, they don't want to let her go because she gives really good advice. And so finally she talks her boss into her, you know, letting her try her hand at a feature. And the idea is that boss is like, fine, you don't believe in love. You write me a feature proving to me why love doesn't exist, which is really hard because how do you prove a negative? And I will consider running it and consider letting you occasionally write, you know, an actual article. And she's like, okay, I'm on this. And then she goes about, how do you figure out, you know, love doesn't exist? And she decides, well, I'm going to look at all these movies, right? And I'm going to, like, all these romantic comedies, and I'm going to pick the meet cutes from all of them. And then I'm going to prove, when I've done all these meet cutes and nothing happens, I'm going to prove that obviously love is impossible. Well, she starts not with a romantic comedy. She starts with the hardware scene from 50 Shades of Grey, where he comes in, you know, and he's doing all the, like, ties and the this and that. Well, anyway, she ends up with a creep following her home, and her best friend is like livid, who's a guy. And he's like, this is not okay. You don't get to do these anymore if I'm not around. And so that's kind of how it works. And originally I thought the best friend was going to be the hero. But then the best friend ended up having a business meeting and couldn't make it. So he sent his older brother, because they'd grown up together, and sent his older brother in her stead. And it was the meet cute from Out of Sight, where I don't know, have you ever seen that movie with George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez where they
right.
get locked in a trunk?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she gets locked in the trunk with the older brother and hijinks ensue. And I'm like, oh, so this is the hero. Interesting.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at this point with the book. But
so
I'm
that was a lot of research you had to do for those book, for those stories. Well, you had to go through and find
oh, yeah. Watch all those movies. It was such a hardship. Actually, in my house, it is a hardship because I raised three boys, and trying to find time to watch something that isn't an action or a sports movie, right? Like, I have to go barricade myself in my room because, God forbid, I put on an icky, like, love movie out where the boys could see it because the gagging then ensues. And then, really? Do we
right.
have to watch this? Why can't you watch that in your room? Why are you? I'm like, you know how many sports movies I've watched for you? Do you know how many blow-them-up movies I've watched for you in the years I've been your mother? They're like, well, those are good movies, Mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm like, yes,
like,
these
a rom-coms,
book? Terrible.
This is a kissing movie.
Right, exactly. There's kissing. God forbid.
Yes, there's kissing.
Which they don't
right.
seem to mind when there's, like, you know, the girls are in bikinis and things are blowing up in the background. Then it's okay to have kissing movies. But, like,
right.
movies devoted to kissing? No.
Not so much.
That's not okay.
So tell me, when you were in school, we'll go back a little bit. When you were in school, I had this problem where I would be writing instead of actually, like, listening in class. Did you ever have things like that, or were you reading instead of listening in class?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm really good at math, but I hate it. Like, I have absolutely no interest in it whatsoever. It just seems really boring to me because the answer, like, it's so self-explanatory in my head. I'm just like, well, you just do this, you get the answer. How boring is that? So, yeah, I would always, like, rush through my math work. From the time I was very, very young, I would rush through math and science because I just didn't have any interest in them so much. History and English were always my loves. And I remember when I was little, before I was writing, it was like the reading, like just the voracious reading. And I would I went to Catholic school, so I had like one class. We didn't, you know, I stayed with the same kids all day, even all the way through junior high. And so anyway, I would like rush through my work and I'd be sitting there reading my book. And like, I'd be like, it'd be a romance novel. And I'd be like, by the time it was like seventh grade, it was like a romance novel. And I'm totally into it. And I'm reading it. And like, half the class is like watching me and my face instead of watching, you know, doing their work. And like, the teachers are like, Tracy, will you stop? And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's just so exciting. So yeah, I had a lot of that. But yes, and yes, I was always writing. I always had a notebook and a pen and was always, you know, I went through my, you know, dark, angsty poetry phase, of course, that I think most of us do it, you know, in our teen years.
Right.
And when I was a junior in high school, California had started this program called the California Young Playwrights Project, and it was about getting young people to write one-act plays, and I was really lucky because my play got picked to be produced, and that was really cool. And from that time on, I was like, yeah, this is, like, there was no, I mean, I knew before then that I always wanted to write, but from that time on, I was like, I am going to write for a living, because there's nothing cooler than watching people watch my work and
mm-hmm.
respond to it and laugh and in all the right spaces and, you know, enjoy it and all of that. I was hooked.
Well, and, you know, like we're talking about earlier, having that reaction that with someone who reads your book. So with all of the books that you've released, so you released under Tracy Deebs and also Tracy Wolf, has there been something you haven't written yet? Right. And so what have you not written yet? Like, what genre have you not written yet that you've wanted to write?
This is the joke, because one of my absolute best friends in the world is Sherry Thomas, who writes historical romance and now historical mysteries. And I write almost everything else. And I always laugh, so when people ask me to, like, introduce myself, I'm like, I'm Tracy Wolf, and I write everything but historical. But now I have this, and Sherry always laughs, but now I have this niggling historical idea in my head for a YA that I think I'm going to write. So I don't know. What do I do? I mean, everything is like pretty much under the romance genre or, you know, umbrella.
Sure.
But I write like paranormal, urban fantasy, contemporary, erotica, young adult. I wrote some sweet romances. Yeah, historical seems to be the big one I haven't done. I don't do sci-fi romance, like paranormals.
Uh-huh.
As, you know, as far as I go there, I'm not very good at the whole alien and time travel and that kind of thing. But yeah, I think I'm going to try my hand at a historical YA about, do you know who the Edelweiss Pirates are?
No, I'm not
a
familiar.
A lot of people don't. They were this movement in Germany in World War II. They rose up in direct opposition to the Hitler Youth Movement. They were kids 12 through 17, because 17 was when you got impressed into the military, right? And
uh-huh.
Their whole point of existence was to cause trouble for the Hitler Youth Movement. They would graffiti, like, down with Nazis. They would take the pamphlets dropped by the allies and, like, shove them in, like, hide them so the Germans couldn't get them, and then shove them in everybody's mailbox explaining, you know, why the Nazis were so bad. And cause fights sometimes with the Hitler Youth Movement. And I just was really, really intrigued by these guys. And so an idea had started niggling at me that I think I'm going to try and sell, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know if it'll sell, but I'm pretty excited about playing with it right now.
Well, where did you hear about them?
My agent and I were just bantering back and forth about something, and she's like, you know, you should – We're just thinking, like, I was like, I don't know what I really want to write next for YA and this and that. And she's like, you should write a pirate book. And I'm like, well, I am actually, because I'm writing a space pirate book for middle grade, Calico Jack's Amazing and Mostly True Tales from the Andromeda Galaxy. And
okay.
Had a ton of fun with Calico Jack. But anyway, I'm like, I'm writing a space. She's like, no, you should. She's like, did they have pirates in, like, I don't know, the 20th century that aren't, like, the really scary, like, murderous ones that we hear about now, right, you know? And so we
right.
just started Googling, and Edelweiss Pirates came up, and I'm like, oh, what is that? And she's like, oh, my God, these guys are so badass, Tracy, excuse me. You have to, like, try this. And I was like, oh, let me look. And so I looked, and then I just, like, kind of fell into the stories of them. And yeah, it's like niggling at me, and my agent's like, oh, you should totally write it, because she wants to read it.
right. Agents are so good of planting those seeds and telling us,
oh,
go write that.
She's amazing. She is ridiculous about it. Like, one of like the hardest book I ever wrote, and probably definitely in, like, of my 55, like, in my top three favorites. Is a book called Doomed, which was a YA. And originally it had started out as this little Pandora's box story where she was going to open – I was going to set it in New Orleans. She's going to, like, open a grave by accident in the cemetery, you know, because everybody hangs out in the cemeteries in New Orleans. And kind of that was going to be the box. It was going to be this, like, little story about, like, you know, food poisoning in the school cafeteria and all these terrible things that happened. And my agent's like, you know, I just feel like that's not big enough. This is, like, right when, you know, everybody was doing the Greek retellings, right? And she's like,
right.
what if she opens an attachment instead of a box? And, like, it blew my mind. Like, it blew my mind, like, so wide open. And I was like, that is the most brilliant idea I've ever heard. And then I was like, but I can't write that. You should give that to John, who happened to be another one of our writers, who's more a tech thriller kind of guy. Like, you should let John write that. She's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You're going to write it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it was so hard. It was so hard. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I love it so much. So it turned out really well and whatever. But, yeah, it was really hard. Usually I could have written three books in the time it took me to write that book. But what do you do? Sometimes
right.
the story
you keep
gets you, and you gotta write it. That was one of
well,
those stories.
Thank you so Thank you so much for being here today. I've been talking to Tracy Wolf. Her newest books are out now, The Phantom Wheel and Rough and Ready. And you can find Tracy at tracywolfbooks.com. It's tracywolffbooks.com. She's also on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook, and she is with Austin Romance Writers of America, and she has got over 50 books, so plenty of books for stocking stuffers, and of course to grab and hide away in the corner while your kids open their presents so you can read your books. So for yourself. So thank you so much, Tracy, for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Patricia. This was so much fun.
Oh, I'm glad you were here. And please come back and tell us when you've got more books on the shelves. We'll be love to hear about it.
I would love to. You're one of my favorite people. So thank you so much for having me.
Of course. All right. Everybody keep reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.